Welcome to CUTV News Radio, where our hosts Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters talk to today's top thinkers from all around the world to bring you information, inspiration, and thought-provoking ideas that you can put to use in your personal or professional life right now. Covering a broad range of topics, we dig deep to discover what makes today's top thinkers tick. CUTV News Radio, it's the show where ideas matter. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
We thank you very much for joining us. It is 3 p.m. Eastern here at the Broadcast Center, noon Pacific, and it is Friday, May 17th, 2019, at the time of our live broadcast. A pleasure to have you with us today. Thanks for making us a part of your day on CUTV News Radio Live, where we do seek out and find some of the most amazing people around the world who are doing incredible things to make our world a better place. We welcome our plethora of audience tuned in across the United States as well as Canada and worldwide, our international audience joining us as well. Great conversation here exclusively on CUTV News Radio as we're continuing our conversation with Pamela Wilson, caregiving expert and elder care advocate dedicated to supporting caregivers of aging parents, spouses, and other family members as well. She believes caregivers need help and support, but they're afraid to ask. And we've been talking about that here in our series. And I had the opportunity actually just a few months back to actually meet Pamela in person when she came to the East Coast. And we did a full sit-down TV video interview, which is available for viewing as well. And it was a long-form interview we did in our television studio at CUTV News. And it was wonderful. And I got a real sense at that point how she really, really is in this for the long haul, passionate, enthusiastic, cares. She's experienced all of this, you know, herself at deep, deep levels. So whatever you're going through yourself as a caregiver, the person receiving care, whatever it may be, all of the above, or just family members and friends, she's experienced it all. She's worked with it all. And, I mean, she's done so much. She has run two caregiving organizations. In one, she served as a court-appointed guardian, financial and medical power of attorney, personal representative, trustee, and care manager for hundreds of people, legally responsible for all of their money, medical care, and posthumous wishes and estates. She's extraordinary at what she does. And, again, she truly believes caregiving can be very personal and fraught with many difficult emotions, foremost among them guilt. But caregivers have to be able to talk about everything, because if they can't, you can literally go crazy. The pressure, the stress, the fear, the frustration. You just have to be able to laugh about the crazy stuff. And caregiving can be crazy. Pamela is here to discuss a little bit more as we continue our exclusive CUTV News Radio Live series with her here on the show today. We're going to talk about caregiving support and so much more. Pamela, thanks for joining us once again here on CUTV News Radio Live. You're there in beautiful Colorado. I'll be actually heading to Colorado in the beginning of June for a video interview. So welcome from beautiful Colorado. Great to have you with us today.
Thank you. My pleasure to be here.
You are very, very welcome. It's such an important topic that we've been talking about because it really affects all of us. If it isn't right now today, it sure will down the line. And that's why it's essential to be prepared and to be knowledgeable and to understand the entire situation when it comes to caregiving. Tell us what life is like for those of us who maybe have not had this experience yet. What it's like for a 24/7 caregiver or caregivers who spend 20 plus hours a week caregiving. Tell us about what that's really like.
That life is filled with so many ups and downs and unexpected situations. If you can imagine this, you know, you're at work and you get a call from your aging parents, there's a disaster, you have to leave work, rush to their house, or you get 10 phone calls a day about issues. It's unpredictable, it's up and down, and it's very stressful. I tell people to think back, you know, if anybody's had children, you know, think back when that baby was first born, you kind of didn't know exactly what you were doing, and there were sleepless nights, and you had to, you know, do all these things that you were unfamiliar with. Becoming a 24/7 caregiver or caregiving more than 20 hours a week is full of those unexpected things. And in this situation, it's not a baby growing up. It's an aging parent or an aging loved one who is going the other way. Their health is declining. Things are happening that you don't know what to do about, and you're worried, and sometimes you just feel helpless.
Yeah. And so then what do we do? How do we get beyond that if we do really feel stuck and helpless?
You know, caregiving support is always my answer to that. So many caregivers don't realize that help is out there. They don't know where to go. They don't even sometimes they think, well, I can work through this. I'll make it, grin and bear it. It's my responsibility. I shouldn't be asking for help. Or they feel embarrassed that someone is going to think that they're not doing a good job, and so they don't ask for help. But caregiving support, you know, my experience in the 20 years that I've been doing this is I can almost see what's going to happen in caregiving situations, the bad and the good. And my goal, my mission, is to prevent caregivers and aging adults from going through experiences that they don't know are going to happen and that results in very bad consequences.
What are some of the things you've seen happen in terms of consequences for people to really get a full, you know, and some of it can be raw stuff. So in that getting prepared and really understanding what it's all about, that it isn't always lollipops and ice cream, what are some of the things that can actually happen and go wrong from your expertise?
You know, simple example from today, and I'll use, I don't know if you read earlier this week, but our ex-president, Jimmy Carter, was going out, I think it was turkey hunting, and he turned and he broke a hip. So I was talking to a caregiver today, and this person had a loved one who had a similar accident, broke a hip. It didn't work out with the surgery. There were disagreements with the surgeon, and her brother ended up passing away. And she found me because she saw a video on my website, and she said, oh, my gosh, I wish I would have seen this 2 months ago. This is the story of my brother. He's passed away. I could have prevented this if I would have known. So it's those types of situations in all aspects of caregiving that I know that happen, that caregivers don't know that happen, that result in deaths and injuries and people having to leave their homes to go to nursing homes, which nobody wants to do. All the aging adults I know want to stay in their homes, and that's where they should stay, but it doesn't always work out that way.
Sometimes you also have to help people cope with the overwhelming feeling of guilt, right?
Yes. And the guilt happens from a couple of reasons. One, caregivers will become angry with loved ones, and they may say something or they may snap. And so there's guilt from, I was impatient with my loved one. I shouldn't have said that. Then there's guilt that comes from delaying making decisions, because when you're stressed as a caregiver, I call it, you know, your brain just shuts off. You can't think, you can't solve problems. Everything seems so difficult. So maybe you delay making a decision, something bad happens, and then you feel guilty because a loved one had a fall, they had a heart attack, they had something that happened that was very harmful, and sometimes they don't come back from those types of situations. So the guilt comes from waiting too long to take action. But the problem is caregivers don't know what action they should take. And so it's kind of this circle of, I have a problem. I don't know what to do. I don't know that caregiving support exists. Oh, I guess I'll wait. Disaster, caregiving train wreck, guilt.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And it's a place that one can easily get stuck in and not know how to move from. And that's why it's important to have somebody like you really there as the coach, the consultant, to really help them through. I mean, there's so many things that you're dealing with, managing incontinence, there's isolation, loneliness, depression. I mean, there's a wealth of things. What are some of the things that a caregiver would ultimately end up having to, and again, it depends on the illness, obviously, or what's going on, the scenarios, but some of these things, you know, like isolation and loneliness and incontinence, these are everyday things oftentimes when you're a caregiver, right?
For 24/7 caregivers, they are. I mean, when a loved one needs more care, when their health is declining, I call it the hands-on care. So that's what becomes stressful. What if you're, you know, a wife who's 110 pounds and your husband weighs 300 pounds and you have to lift him out of bed or help him go to the bathroom? You can injure yourself. And then, like you mentioned, we have incontinence to deal with. Sometimes people have catheters. You don't necessarily change the catheter, but you change the catheter bag. How do you do that? How do you manage all of these hands-on type of care situations, like bathing a loved one, sometimes having to feed a loved one or do a special diet through a feeding tube? It's all of these things that are complicated that, one, caregivers are afraid to do because they don't know how to do it, but that we talk about in my support groups about how to gain these skills to do these things. And a lot of times I just talk about the gap. So there's this caregiving gap between where our situation is and where we'd like it to be. And that's the gap that caregivers have great difficulty figuring out. So, okay, I'm taking care of a loved one at home today. The situation's not great. Would like it to be so much better. Would like to be able to manage the health better, have better family relationships, learn how to do these tasks, but yet I don't know how to get there. So in my online courses, I help families assess their situation by asking them questions that they don't know to even ask themselves. So it's kind of hard to close a gap if you don't even know where to start. If you don't have clarity about, well, this is a problem, how do I fix it, what do I do next? Sometimes caregivers don't even know what the problems are.
You know, that's right. Absolutely. They have no idea. Now, if the person needing care has a diagnosis of Alzheimer's or dementia, this stress we're talking about can be significantly greater, right?
Oh, people who care for Alzheimer's, God bless them all. It's such a horrible disease to start with, but then the care needs are extreme. Another situation, I was talking to a caregiver today, she had moved in with her parents because her father had Alzheimer's. He kept wandering off. So if you're caring for someone with Alzheimer's, you have all these additional complications. Sometimes they'll wander off and they get lost. Her father got lost in the middle of winter, was not wearing shoes. Fortunately, somebody found him. And then there's the day and nights. So the days and nights get mixed up. People with Alzheimer's will sometimes sleep all day and be awake all night. Then caregivers are awake all night. They don't get enough sleep. They're tired during the day. This person is awake all day. They're struggling to stay awake to care for them. And then there's, you know, people with Alzheimer's forget how to do things. So they forget how to dress. They forget how to feed themselves. So the hands-on care becomes so much more significant. And then you have behaviors where, you know, they may have an outburst, they get upset, they pace. So caring for a loved one with Alzheimer's it's more stressful almost than any other type of care, except if you're at end of life with someone. That is also extremely, extremely stressful.
Yeah, there's so many emotions and there's so much wrapped up in it all that sometimes it's hard to separate all of that. Even bathing can become an event, right?
Oh, bathing. I call it bathing is a battle. So I have had clients over the years who've had dementia and they forget that they haven't bathed. So a caregiver may say, oh, mom, dad, let's go take a shower. And mom and dad will say, well, honey, I just took a shower. And you look at mom and dad and their clothes have food stains all over it. And you're thinking, oh, I know you haven't bathed in like a week. How do we get you in there? You know, sometimes we have had to, believe it or not, put on a bathing suit and get in a shower with an aging parent or a client to get them to bathe because sometimes they're afraid of the water, or other times we do bed baths, or we will, on any given day, bathe an arm and a leg, and then you do the next arm and a leg the next day. All of these things become so much more difficult, and bathing is important because if you're not clean, you can get skin wounds, urinary tract infections. I mean, that comes with a whole host of other caregiving disasters that some caregivers just don't know how to manage or don't know what to do about.
Again, something else to really, really consider and think about. Sometimes true, and we've talked about this, family members too can disappear when the help is needed most. That happens more often than not, right, Pamela?
It does, and it happens for a number of reasons. You know, with Alzheimer's, some family members will say to me, well, they don't remember who I am, so I'm not going to show up, I'm not going to help. And that's really, to me, more the person grieving the loss of, well, they don't know who I am, I feel horrible, why should I go see them? But then other times, family members disappear because, honestly, they don't know what to do. They feel helpless. They don't want to watch a loved one become more ill. You know, I had a situation the other day where a son is passing away, and he told his mother, you know, I don't want you to come see me. I don't want you to see me like this. I don't want you to remember me like this. So there are also the opposite situations where family says, don't come, you know, or the person who's ill says, don't come because I don't want you to see me like this, because then they feel worse because family members are crying. So it's a situation that goes both ways. And it's just because we don't know how to deal with the emotions of caregiving, which caregivers are afraid to talk about their emotions. They're afraid to be shamed by someone that says, oh, it can't be that bad. If you're a 24/7 caregiver, it is that bad. Caregivers need support. And again, I laugh. You'll hear me laughing because sometimes we just have to laugh about these situations because they are so very sad.
Right, exactly. It can be really, really deep. You know, a lack of planning exists for what happens when one spouse passes away oftentimes. Who will then care for the surviving spouse? Who's likely to have experienced physical and emotional declines? Besides, we don't talk about caregiving, and the unexpected surprises just keep coming, right?
Well, they do, and it goes back to the fact that caregiving isn't very well talked about in society. None of us are going to need care. We're not going to get old. We are not going to get sick, and we're not going to die. And so sometimes in married couples, you know, they don't know what to do, and they don't want to ask children for help. So I've been in situations where one spouse has passed away, and I've actually been appointed the guardian for the surviving spouse because there wasn't a plan. And in other situations where there isn't a plan, it falls on the children. But sometimes even the children say, well, I can't do it. Or, you know, we're going to have to find other help because I don't know what I'm doing. So in the best of situations, we have to talk about caregiving. We have to have a backup plan for if something happens to us, because caregivers will work themselves to death, and especially us women. You know, we don't want to admit that we need help. We will suffer ourselves. Our health will get worse. But what caregivers don't think about is if something happens to me, who cares for my spouse, my parent, my loved one? That is a huge gap in caregiving, and we have to talk about it.
The 24/7 caregivers really need support, but they oftentimes, again, as we're outlining here, they don't know where to turn. Leaving home to attend, you know, an in-person support group, I would imagine, can turn into a five-hour event with having to find someone to care for a loved one and then driving back and forth to the support group, right?
It can, and it actually can be more exhausting than caregiving because you have the stress of, okay, I have to leave my loved one. I'm worried about, will this person care for them the way that I would care for them? Is some disaster going to happen while I'm gone? And what many caregivers don't realize is that online, and I call it live support. So there's a lot of online forums where you can post questions and you never really get to a live person or a real person. And my caregiving support is different from that perspective. Yes, it's a course with educational material, but caregivers also have access to me personally, live through webinars, through other contact, so that they feel like their problems can get answered. And so The option to having to leave to go to a support group is to find an online group like one of mine or like one of my courses where you can get the help that you need kind of on your schedule. So you don't have to leave the house. You don't have to get someone to sit with your loved one. It's all through the internet and live exchanges on the internet and course information. That's how I help.
And you do it beautifully. And another question that has come up is if you're associated with any type of agency that sells other services. Tell us about that.
So I will get questions from older adults and some children who will say, you know, I've had this experience where I've gone online and I've given my information to somebody and it goes all over the place. And then I'm being called by all of these other services. Are you like that? And my answer is no. I get approached by those companies all the time who want to put information on my website, who want me to link to their websites, who want to advertise on my website. And I say no, because my clients, my caregivers, my aging adults, they want to feel like their information, especially their personal stories, are held in confidence, are confidential, that I'm not going to sell their information or give it to anybody else. And I totally understand that concern. I would not want, you know, some assisted living company calling me because they got my name from somebody else or somebody else calling me to sell me insurance or things like that. I mean, I can't tell you how many phone calls I get a day that are solicitations. So I understand caregivers wanting privacy and to have their personal information protected. And it is. It doesn't go anywhere else but me.
Which is important. And that's a key thing for people to really absorb and understand and appreciate this bond, this trust that you create with your clients, knowing that they are going through some of the most traumatic experiences in their lives with the potential and or eventual loss of a dear friend, of a loved one, mom, dad, spouse, friend, sometimes, unfortunately, child, whatever it may be. So there's so much that's in their mind that the mind can become very, very foggy. You're almost numb. You're doing things mechanically, like a robot. Mm-hmm. I've got to do this. I've got to take the temperature. I've got to make sure they take the medicines. And you're not tending to your needs and to yourself. And that's what you're trying to combat here. You're trying to put a lot of emphasis, not just on the person being cared for, but as well the person doing the caring. Because if you have two people who are ill at the same time, that benefits nobody, right?
It doesn't. I talk about a lot about prevention in my courses, and that's where we can prevent a lot of things from happening. One, if we know that they're possible to happen, and then two, how do we, you know, make things better? So it's kind of like your car and your maintenance, and you get your oil changed because you want your car to drive. Well, if you want to help a loved one stay at home, here's a list of things that can cause them to leave the home. How do we address all of these things? And also, again, I'll go back to the importance of not waiting too long, because if you wait too long, okay, you may not be able to stay at home as long because you missed these five things. Or you may have to hire in-home caregivers sooner because you missed these things, or go into a care community sooner. So all of the prevention actually reduces caregiving costs. It reduces all of the caregiving anxiety and family disagreements that happen about caregiving. And many times that's what causes the caregivers to get sick. It's, yes, I'm caring for a parent, but oh my gosh, my family is not helping. They're driving me crazy. They're telling me what I should be doing, but yet they won't help. So all of this caregiving emotion, it needs a place. It needs a support group. It needs a forum so that caregivers can maintain their health to be able to take care of loved ones.
On your website, PamelaDWilson.com, it is a wealth of information. I encourage folks to go to the website. You talk about so many incredible things. Costs of care are shocking and can be unaffordable. Lack of early caregiving conversations result in crisis. The healthcare system is biased against care for aging adults. Nursing home care is a situation of last resort. Care in retirement communities are a blessing or a nightmare. Healthcare staffing is challenged by a lack of training and shortage of caring and interested employees. It's unbelievable. The devil is in the details of learning to manage care, families not getting along. There's just so much material. You also have the free Advanced Caregiving Library. Tell us about that. That's quite exciting.
The library is something that I have worked on for years. All the articles are written by me. There's articles, podcasts, and videos, and it's free. And so there's basic information on my website that you can go and look at all these articles in 30 categories of information, all the way from aging to Alzheimer's to power of attorney to how to stay at home. And then if you actually sign up, so behind my website is this whole other, I call it a membership site. There are more advanced articles, more advanced videos there. Because my website would be 1,000 pages if I didn't have a good way to organize it. And so this membership site is the way that I organize and categorize things so that caregivers can find, you know, they can ask a question and be pointed to an article or find specific information that's helpful. And that's my caregiving library.
You also have the Caregiving Trap, Solutions for Life's Unexpected Changes, your book which supports conversations of care that emphasize choice and planning and creating balance in family caregiving and relationships, sharing expertise from 20 plus years of working in caregiving and aging. Tell us a little bit more about that book and why that is an incredible resource for people.
You know, the book came out from caregivers and my aging adults saying, don't you have a book? Can't you write something for us to help guide us through this caregiving? And so it is really, it's practical information. It's information that caregivers can use about how do you talk to your aging parents about driving, about needing care at home. What do you do when someone has Alzheimer's? How do you work with the healthcare community, which is one of my, I call it one of my battles. The healthcare community does not always support good care for aging adults. It's biased. It sees them as old. And I so hate that. And a lot of family members don't know how to talk to the healthcare community, how to advocate to make sure that loved ones do get care, that they're not ignored. And those are the little details that I talk about in my courses, because sometimes caregivers just don't know that they can disagree with a doctor, or they can say, no, that's not right. I know it's not right. Something else is wrong. And when they don't do those things, that's when loved ones die. That's when they go to nursing homes. That's when their health doesn't reverse. But they're afraid to speak up. I give caregivers confidence to speak up about all these situations.
Yeah, absolutely. The online programs and caregiving support groups are actually the ones you have designed expertly reduce worry and stress and can actually help people gain confidence by working with someone who knows what happens in care in caregiving situations. Again, the online resources and caregiving support groups are invaluable, aren't they?
They are, and I've got two so far, and I'm developing another one, but the two that I have are power of attorney. So people, you know, become power of attorney and they don't know what they're supposed to do. And the other one is stay at home, because so many aging adults want to stay at home, but yet they don't know what to do, how to make that happen, how to navigate the system. And so those are two very important courses that I have. And as caregivers ask for more, I'm going to develop one about nursing homes too. So it depends on what caregivers tell me they want. I give it to them in the way of courses and support,
which is tremendous. And if you want to learn more, folks, again, the book is The Caregiving Trap, Solutions for Life's Unexpected Changes. Pamela has a wealth of online programs and caregiving support group information available. She has her free Advanced Caregiving Library, a blog, lots of media, a store, all kinds of different resources on her website. And welcome to the caring generation. That's what I love. Your online community of programs, support groups, and courses for caregivers, aging adults, care receivers, professional caregivers. It's a wonderful community. And again, you can find out more by going to her website, www.pameladwilson.com. That's pameladwilson.com, because Pamela truly believes Take control and manage the unexpected with practical information and proven tips. It's all about enhancing life's transitions with dignity, clarity, and stability. Thanks so much for joining us once again, Pamela. You are absolutely amazing. I think I've mentioned that to you before. Your experiences are real. They're authentic. Your passion and enthusiasm, your desire to help others, as well as coupled with your years of real experience, are top-notch. And we thank you very much for sharing it with us here on CUTV News Radio Live, and look forward to chatting with you again soon and updates and more new exciting things that you're working on. It was a real pleasure having you with us again, Pamela.
My pleasure. Thank you so much, Jim.
Yes, and hello to your husband. I had a chance to meet him when you came east for our TV video interview, and to the family, and wish you continued success in everything you're doing, and I'm sure we'll be chatting again soon. You have a wonderful weekend, Pamela.
You too. Thank you, everybody.
You're very welcome. Take care. Again, check out that website. It is really, really a great resource, and it's beautifully laid out, too, very easy to navigate. PamelaDWilson.com. This is your host, Jim Masters, thanking you for your time this time. Till next time, stay tuned. More great episodes of CUTV News Radio Live all around the world coming up in just a minute. For all of us here, we thank our very special guest, elder care advocate Pamela D. Wilson. She truly is an expert, and I encourage you to connect with her because, again, it's something we're all going to deal with in our lives if we haven't yet, and she can help. Better to be prepared. Jim Masters, once again, for the entire team here at CUTV News and CUTV News Radio Live, thanks again for being with us. Have a phenomenal day and a spectacular weekend. Bye for now.
You've been listening to CUTV News Radio. If you want to learn more about our programming or perhaps be considered for a future show, visit us on the web at www.cutvnews.com. And if you enjoyed listening to today's show, subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or Stitcher and be sure to write a review. Thanks for listening, and from all of us at CUTV News Radio, we hope you have a productive and inspired day.